Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm good, Linda. How are you? Good. It is good to be together. I'm glad you're here. And I am excited to share a few insights this morning from what God has been teaching me this week, because we need a better hope. I need a hope that gives me strength. Not a hope that's tied to what might happen tomorrow, but a hope that is grounded in the reality of today. Not a hope in clouds or butterflies. I don't want a fluffy hope that someone might come along and prick, pop a pin in. I want a hope that lasts. And God is inviting us this morning to transform our thinking about hope. Now, for me, I'm not saying this about you, but for me, I have put my hope in some pretty dumb places. I remember being, I think about in fourth grade, and I would be lying on my back on our living room floor, and our family would be crowded around a little black and white TV, maybe about this big, watching our favorite sports team. David does that too. And I was putting my hope in people who didn't know me or care about me, putting my hope in the ability of a player to put an orange ball through a round hoop. That was misplaced hope. And I make the same mistake as an adult. Last week, a friend texted me words that God had given to her in prayer as she was praying for me, and the words were about a challenging circumstance that I'm facing and that God, Christ, would be with me in that circumstance. It's not what I wanted to hear. And this is ugly and embarrassing to share what I thought, and yet I'm hoping that you will have compassion and understanding. My first hope was not in someone who loves me and knows me and is powerful and wise. My first hope was that my circumstances would change. I need a better hope. The book of Hebrews was written mostly to the Jewish Christians around 67 AD, just before the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. And these were people who were following Christ, but they were tempted to turn back to their Jewish beliefs. And I wonder if any of us here can relate to feeling tempted, especially tempted to turn away from following Christ. If we are awake, I'm guessing our answer is yes. And the point of the book of Hebrews is to show the supremacy of Christ. First, Hebrews shows that Christ is higher than the angels, and then that Christ is greater than Moses and the Aaronic priests. And finally, that Christ was a better sacrifice and is a better high priest than those who came before. The writer is using all of these arguments to prove that there is no one better than Jesus. We have a better hope, but we reject him. And God is inviting us this morning to transform our thinking about hope. The location of hope, the source of our hope, the depth of the hope that we have. So for anyone who has been tempted to despair, who has been trying to make sense of your reality, for anyone who is ready for a better way, we have good news today, church. I hope God will plant this in our hearts today so that it lasts. So if you're ready, let's go. Listen to the text. We have this hope. What kind of hope? This hope is an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. This is not a hope that floats. This is not a hope in something without substance. This is a hope that is solid and strong. It's an anchor. Now, I noticed something strange in the text. Picture this. Verse 19 says, this firm and secure hope, this confident hope, like an anchor, moves. An anchor that moves behind the curtain into the inner sanctuary. Well, let's pause right there for some context. In the Old Testament, the Jewish people offered animal sacrifices to God for their sins. And the sanctuary was a holy place set apart for worship, and it was a place of refuge, as we've been talking about these past 2 weeks. And once a year, the high priest would go into a special room called the Holy of Holies to make atonement for the people of God. And this is where the Ark of the Covenant was, with the mercy seat on the top. And there was a curtain that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. And that curtain was blue and purple and scarlet, the royal colors. Now, I want to show you one of my favorite things about Jesus. In the New Testament, the curtain separates the inner court from the outer court. It was a barrier separating the people from God. A high priest had to go behind the curtain on behalf of the people to make intercession. Well, Matthew's gospel records that after Jesus was mocked and crucified, after he cried out in a loud voice and said, "Into your hands I commit my spirit," at that point the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Jesus reconciled us to God, and now we have access. We're admitted in. We're chosen and wanted, but we stay on the outside, hoping in things that are small and unsatisfying and temporary. I have a fear, Zion. I am afraid that we care more about our circumstances changing than we care about our access to God. I don't like seeing this in myself, but am I willing to change it? And if I am, what's my next step? Scripture says we have an anchored hope that enters the sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus entered on our behalf. An anchored hope. An anchor is a heavy object on a ship cast overboard to hold the vessel in a particular place. This anchored hope isn't something that makes the boat sink. Hope is an instrument that lodges us in the room with Christ, in the Holy of Holies. And now the image in the verses changes again. First we had an anchor, then we had the curtain, and the Holy of Holies. And verse 20 says, Jesus entered on our behalf and has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. He was the priest that met Abraham after a battle. And Jesus, like Melchizedek in Genesis, became a priest not on the basis of a regulation as to his ancestry, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible life. That's chapter 7, verse 16. And verse 24 adds that because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. So here, verse 25. Therefore, Jesus is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Jesus lives to intercede for us. Jesus is an eternal high priest. Death has no hold on him. Jesus' sacrifice was once for all. The sacrificial system ended. We have been made right with God. Jesus is able to save completely those who come to God through him. If we were to weigh these out on a balancing scale, and on one side is our hope in ourselves and in our circumstances, and on the other side is Christ, a person who is a better high priest and a better sacrifice, and who is present with us and welcomes us into the Holy of Holies, Which one has supremacy? Which one is better? The best hope anchors us to Christ. We have this hope anchoring us not just to a location, but to Christ himself. I believe God has been anchoring us as a congregation to Christ. Several years ago, we learned Richard Foster's six streams of spirituality based on Acts 4, that the same Jesus who is holy and led by the Spirit is also a God of justice for the oppressed. We learned that the same God made known incarnationally through Jesus was contemplative and in himself proclaimed the gospel, the word of God. And as we learned this, we began focusing more on Christ and less on our circumstances. And that led us to hope. I believe God is continuing to anchor us to Christ as a congregation. One of the beautiful patterns that I've noticed over the past year is that we have a holy hunger for following Christ better. I'll share four examples. First, I hear you asking good questions about how do I navigate this particular situation as a follower of Christ. Second, it's bubbled up in our sermons and our Sunday school conversations and our meetings that we long to take up our cross more and more in ways that reflect our Anabaptist faith in Christ. Third, one person who submitted a summer sermon request said they wanted to hear a sermon about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Another person shared a prayer request for Jesus to be the center of their life. This longing of our heart is aligning with where God has been leading us, and so we walk forward together in this direction, anchored to Christ. I am eager for intentional conversations together, focused on living more anchored to Christ. Our sermon series for this fall is called Jesus Rooted. We are going to water the seeds that God has been planting in us. And we've been talking about better today. Well, God keeps bringing verses to mind that would be great to preach on for this sermon series this fall. And I scribble down the verses on little slips of paper and tuck them into whichever book I happen to be reading at that moment because my phone is not near me. I need a better system for tracking these verses. But I trust God to guide us. I am working at having this hope. This fall, we are also having a Sunday school series on racial reconciliation because it is important and biblical for the church to be having conversations about how we live out God's heart for all to experience beloved community. And at the same time as we have these valuable conversations in Sunday school, we intentionally placed the Jesus-rooted series during the worship service, because as the book of Hebrews shows us, Christ has supremacy, not as the world does, but as a suffering servant. So I invite us to ponder, in what way is Christ anchoring your hope in Christ? And how could you experience that more? We are going to close in prayer, and I'm going to add some pauses for you to silently reflect on what God has been stirring in your heart this morning. I invite us to bring our anchored hope to the throne room of grace to peel back the curtain. Let's pray. God, your grace is staggering. We come as a community into the Holy of Holies, and Jesus is there for us. How can this be? Your arms are stretched wide, showing the scars from the nails in your hands. You welcome us to you, and we have access. There is no comparison. There is none better. Into your hands we commit our spirits. God, we anchor our lives to Christ. We have longed for better. We have been tempted. And now you reorient us to who is best. I thank you for giving us a hope that lasts. Scripture says you set aside the former way, that a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. Because you always live to intercede for us, you are able to save completely those who come to God through Christ. We pray your grace on the sermon series this fall. I pray you would raise up many new disciples in this place. Grow our anchored hope to Christ. Amen.